Thank you.
Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society. This is the tape interview with Mr. Wang Yanglui on April 23rd, 1982.
Charlie,
okay? Oh, okay, we can call Mr. Louis Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny knows me by Charlie. We go to, that's my nickname.
Uh-huh. Most people know you by
Charlie.
Charlie, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, why don't we start with your family history,
mm-hmm.
talking about your parents. Where were your parents came from?
My father came from Canton,
mm-hmm.
China. Of course, I've never been there, so I don't know just what the country is about.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother was from San Francisco. She was born in San Francisco.
Oh, your mother was born in San Francisco?
I believe.
Uh-huh. Do you know approximately when did your father come to the United States?
From what I can recall, he came to this country in when he was 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I think that dates back to about 1866 or something
uh-huh.
like that.
Uh-huh.
66 or 67. He landed in Corvallis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Corvallis wasn't Oregon, wasn't a seaport.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's someplace around. Johnny, what's that port right above there?
It's inland.
Hmm?
It's inland in Oregon. It's on the highway. I think it's near 99. I'm not sure.
But what is the
The port is Portland, Oregon, if there is a port there, and then you used to have ports like Coos Bay. And,
there's one right above Corvallis. Can't think of it.
Probably will come out later. So he's staying in Oregon when he...
He was there approximately 2 or 3 years, I think.
Uh-huh.
And he worked for some store there in Corvallis.
Uh-huh.
And then he started out this look for strike for gold.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a prospector.
Uh-huh.
And he came down the coast along into California.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks quite a bit about Gilroy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he said, I traveled from Gilroy to San Luis Obispo in a week's time.
Uh-huh.
Took him a week to get
travel.
This far.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the meantime, he looks, try to prospect for gold.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that La Panza, which is a about 18 miles east of Paso Robles,
mm-hmm.
is where a lot of gold. So he, and when he used to talk about La Panza, and he said one time he struck a spot which netted him about $400 per ton.
Wow.
Of earth that he,
mm-hmm.
In the mining.
Uh-huh.
And he said that's considered pretty rich.
Oh, yes.
Rich vein of gold.
Uh-huh.
When you hit about $400 a ton of gold, earth.
Did he team up with other Chinese or he just went
from
himself?
What I know of, he was by himself.
Hmm.
And he traveled down as far as San Miguel,
mm-hmm.
and he stopped at the old mission for something to eat, and of course he was carefree, so So I believe he got a job there to cook for the mission father there at the San Miguel Mission.
Hmm.
How did he travel when he was coming down?
He said he had a mule, yeah, a donkey, mm-hmm. he called. And I imagine I can just picture him like the old prospector that we see in pictures, you know, with a gold pan hanging on the side and a, mm-hmm. and a blanket roll, you know, and pick and shovel, you know.
Mm. Leaving a meal.
Regular, yeah, regular old meal.
So how long was he cooking for this father in the mission?
From what I can remember, recall, it was about a year or so, 2 years at the most. Mm-hmm. Then he started out again.
I see.
And came through San Luis. He has an asthmatic condition. He had asthma. And just how long he was around here or working the gold fields in La Panza, I'm not quite sure. But when he went, came through San Luis and he was working his way down south as far as San Diego.
Mm.
Went down as far as San Diego, and he remembered that when he passed through San Luis Obispo, mm-hmm. his asthmatic condition cleared up.
Mm.
And so he said, maybe I better go back. His thoughts were, you know,
mm-hmm.
Whether go back to San Luis Obispo where his health is better.
Uh-huh.
So he came back here and he made this
his home and headquarters.
His home and headquarters in.
Oh.
And settled here and then never moved away from here.
Oh, he was very successful mm-hmm. here.
And I followed suit. I've never moved away mm-hmm. from here.
Did he ever mention when he came through here at that time about how big the town was, or the population, do you recollect?
He used to tell a story that when I came here, there were only one picket fence running through the town and several adobe houses.
Oh.
Now, I, from what I can gather, that isn't quite true because at that time, 1868, when he landed here mm-hmm. in San Luis, from pictures that I can gather, there were more than a few adobe houses. There were other buildings, you know, other wooden buildings around.
Well, there might, maybe what he's referring to was the houses was far apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And could there be. Must have been quite a village here at that time.
He may just referring to a few adobe houses, mm-hmm. but he didn't mention anything about the wooden buildings that
uh-huh.
were around.
I see. So he landed here in 1868,
mm-hmm.
and he started store right away, or what did he do?
No,
at
he
first?
Didn't start the store until later.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't successful in panning for gold, so he but do something else, you know, for a livelihood, because he's got to find some way of getting his meals.
Oh. But I thought
so he finally landed a job in Port San Luis,
mm-hmm.
you know. At that time, it's not called Port San Luis, it's Port Hartford,
mm-hmm.
Because there was a Captain Hartford that
mm-hmm.
Has control of the wharf, or either that or his own wharf.
That was Captain John Hartford, wasn't
John
it?
Hartford, yeah.
John Hartford.
Mm-hmm. So he worked for John Hartford as a cook. Mm-hmm. And his name was Wong On, you know, in Chinese,
mm-hmm.
Wong On, W-O-N-G-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
And John Hartford, Captain Hartford, later on gave him a name of Ah Louis,
uh-huh.
because it's either Hartford, John Hartford to pronounce Wong On,
uh-huh.
or, and then he said, I want to give you a more of a distinctive name. There were so many Wongs
mm-hmm.
in the China, among the Chinese, I'll call you Ah Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And so that name stuck. So everybody calls him Ah Louis. And when we grew up, why, we accepted the name of Louis
mm-hmm.
or Louis,
mm-hmm.
either way, it's, whether you pronounce it in the French or the English or the Spanish,
mm-hmm.
Louis,
mm-hmm.
we accepted that as our surname, so our whole family, eight of us,
mm-hmm.
accepted Louis as our
surname.
Mm-hmm. So in our signature, when we write our name or sign our name, we forget about the Wong, because not because we want to forget the Wong, we use a W for the, in place of the Wong.
Mm-hmm.
There's no use of having two surnames.
Right.
And since we're my father been accepted as Louis as a his surname, we adopted that name.
Mm-hmm.
That name. So we even went through the court and accepted that name as Louis as our surname. So that's how the name got stuck. So all of us, when we sign our name, we always use a W in there, whether before or in the middle or someplace along the line.
You will have Wong.
You keep the Wong.
Uh-huh. So how long was he the cook for Captain Hartford, approximately?
Mm, I don't know exactly how many years. I couldn't tell you.
Uh-huh. But after that, he left and started his own business?
No, he was, Captain Hartford wanted to build a small railroad
mm-hmm.
from the port
mm-hmm.
to Avila, which is how many miles, Johnny? About
from
six,
port,
3 miles, 4 miles?
About 3 miles at the most, from port St. Louis to Avila, the little beach,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
about 3 miles.
About 3 miles at the most.
So he said, why don't you get some Chinese railroad labor so we can build this railroad as far as Avila.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sent up to San Francisco or wherever to pick up some of the Chinese that used to work on the railroad, you know,
uh-huh.
accustomed to working on railroads, so
right.
he started putting this little railroad, and that went on for a while, and until later on when new companies start to form to extend the railroad from Havre to San Luis,
uh-huh.
and then another company formed, I think it was Santa Maria Railway Company, another corporation started to build tracks from here to Rio Grande and on to Santa Maria, and
uh-huh.
later years it ended up at Los Olivos.
Mm-hmm.
So the complete railroad from Port San Luis to Los Olivos
mm-hmm.
is a distance of about 65 miles.
Mm-hmm. I
see. So he had a small group of Chinese working for him, wanting to first build this little railroad from Port San Luis,
mm-hmm.
Port Hartford at that time, yeah,
mm-hmm.
to later on calls Port San Luis, to Avila.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 150 or 60 men, Chinese labor.
Mm-hmm.
But when they work on this other stretch of road from San Luis to Hausalipa, as far as I can recollect, he had over 300, or nearly 400 Chinese working for him then. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
this was the narrow gauge railroad you talked about, right?
Yeah.
Not the
Pacific Coast Railway.
Yeah, that's not the regular big railroad.
Oh, no, no.
Later on.
The regular Southern Pacific, that's a broad gauge, was built later.
Yeah.
Not until...
wasn't it
1894? 1901
is when it was completed. It joined with Santa Barbara.
Oh. I think 94 was 1884 to 1894 when it was completed.
Uh-huh.
San
Luis.
Yeah, it took 10 years to go through the mountains.
Yeah.
Right.
It took 10 years to drill the
tunnels.
Cut the 8 tunnels through the Cuesta Grande.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he was mainly the contractor.
He was a contractor.
Uh-huh. How did he get pay? Or how did these Chinese labor
he
get
would,
pay?
He has he was getting 10 cents a head per day for the privilege of working on the railroad.
Uh-huh. And out of how much the Chinese labor got at that time?
I think around $1.35 an hour or something like that.
Oh, at that time already, that's not too bad at that time. Well,
a day,
or not an hour, okay.
Not an hour.
Uh-huh.
We're tired.
Right, and...
at that time, when your father had all these laborers working for him, which contracted, in this area, was there very many families, or were they mostly laborers?
Yeah, mostly laborers.
Yeah, in other words, a Chinatown was developed around that time too, right?
Yeah. Chinatown didn't come in until after the narrow gauge was built.
And then living in the Chinatown, were there mostly men, or did they have families? I noticed that in the museum, all those pictures, all I can recollect is your family and this fellow that had connection with the candy store.
Mm-hmm.
There was, it didn't seem like there was any other Chinese children
around. No, there wasn't. That was way long after the narrow gauge was built.
Mm-hmm.
And then I imagine that when the narrow gauge was finished, there were some Chinese around, left over from working on the railroad, no more work for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were hired to do work in individual farm or ranches in the old days, they called ranches.
Mm-hmm.
Working at a cook, or in those days when the Chinese are hired as a cook, he's almost everybody, they take care of a family. He's got to wash clothes for the bear, the whole family, mm-hmm. and take care of the kids, babysit and everything. Mm. And besides cooking for the and laundrymen, you know.
So these Chinese cooks will be at different ranches gathering. They are not really staying in one particular.
And when they're short out of work, why they just hang around and look for more work. And in the meantime, my dad was building some houses to house these people, you know, mm-hmm. that are out of work, or if they're working in town or in hotels or restaurants in town, why they would have some place to stay, you know, like a lodging
house. Like they call a, something like a gongshou.
Yeah,
like an association where they, these people were, you know, like a hiring hall, they have a place to stay when they're not working.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So did he actually provide like room and board?
Yes, he had a store. He had a wooden store on the corner of Palm and Choro Street in San Luis, right on the corner from the old mission.
Mm-hmm.
And these people would come and eat there, you know, and then so he provide places for them to stay, mm-hmm. and so forth. And of course he was a Chinese labor contractor. If somebody wants to hire somebody, he would call him up,
mm-hmm.
and he would send somebody out to, you know, to work for these different places. Whether it's a hotel or on out the ranch or someplace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he was also like an employment agency.
Yeah, he had some
placement.
Exactly.
How many people could he take at one time for that kind of a service?
Well, he built other than the store that he was operating.
Uh-huh.
And also, he had a cook there to cook meals for the Chinese. And when mealtime comes along, they pull out a table, round table, maybe two round tables, and all these Chinese would gather around and eat the food right there, see?
Uh-huh.
Right in the store, right inside.
I see.
And then some of the, I can remember some of the Chinese rather do their own cooking in their own places.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you'll buy the provisions from the Alois store.
Ah, I see. So this store you mentioned is Alois store from the very beginning. What kind of goods that he sold at that time, beginning?
General merchandise. He had a wall, I can picture it roughly, estimating that there must be about 80 of these little drawers, you know, where you pull out for herbs, Chinese herbs and medicine. And each drawer has divisions in it, maybe divided into from one to four divisions in each one of these drawers. And he more or less can fill up a prescription, you might say, you know. If somebody has some ailment, you know, whether he has a cough or cold or what have you, aches and pains, he would
prescribe
sound like an herbalist, you see. He would, I don't know where he learned it, but I think most of the Chinese have to learn their own way of taking care of their health, don't you think?
Did he hire anybody to help him in manage the herb shops?
The herb, sometimes some of the Chinese are very clever at as an herbalist, because I remember he had a clerk, the Chinese clerk that do all the Chinese writing for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he can go up to the bank of herbs and concoct something for them to take back to and boil.
Mm-hmm.
And make make
a brew or
right.
Yeah. Did he brew these medicine in the store also sometimes, or always he just give the
yes, he more or less, you know, because if he isn't there, why his some of his aides, you know,
would do
he
it.
Has he has his own horseman, would say.
Uh-huh.
We behind the store we used to have a barn.
Uh-huh.
And one horse there, and we had a surrey, we had a buggy.
Mm-hmm.
So this one man take care of
the patient,
the horse.
Oh, the horse.
The,
mm-hmm.
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 And so so if he wants to go someplace, why this fellow would hitch up the buggy or
mm-hmm.
the surrey and take him
mm-hmm.
And his family to you know, different places,
mm-hmm.
down at the beach or something.
I see.
And then these Chinese that were idle, you know, he would. He ran a brickyard one time.
Mm-hmm.
At
the same time when he ran the
store.
Yeah.
And so he had Chinese working for him at the brickyard. And then later on he went into farming.
Mm-hmm.
He was an extensive farmer. He had at one time around the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
He had 8 seed farms going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he hired these Chinese that are not that were idle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was after the completion of the broad gauge, Southern Pacific Railroad, through the Cuesta Grade tunnels,
uh-huh.
and connecting the north and south railroad.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of Chinese left over, you know, idle.
Uh-huh.
Those that didn't go away or work someplace else,
uh-huh.
well, they were still around here. So.
Uh-huh.
So he built a lot of buildings to take care of wooden buildings,
uh-huh.
to take care of the idle people, and besides those that are working on the farm,
I see.
On the seed farm, so
uh-huh.
on the brickyard. You know.
Uh-huh. Did he have a brickyard first? Before the sea farm?
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Like, what year was the store founded?
The store was built in 1874.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's very early.
1874.
Uh-huh.
So it was after that, the one, 1884, is when they started put in the railroad from the top of the Cuesta Grade down to San Luis Obispo.
Okay, did he have the brickyard before he built this new store or afterwards? I understand that the bricks that your father made is the same bricks that he used to build the Alui store that's standing now,
mm-hmm, yeah.
right?
He had the original Alui store.
Was a wooden store.
Is a wooden building.
Mm-hmm.
So then built the other building besides it, all wooden.
All wooden frame.
And he figured to protect his family.
Mm-hmm.
He built a better one.
He said he's gonna, in case of fire, he'll be wiped out, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved this old wooden building across the street from what is now known as Mihing Lo
restaurant.
Restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's the same
location.
Same location.
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to be the Aloe store.
Uh-huh.
And he moved it across street after about 3 years, I guess,
mm-hmm.
with this wooden building. He moved it across street, and he takes bricks from his own brickyard and build the Aloe store.
Uh-huh.
And the sides and the back that faces the wooden buildings in Chinatown were clad with steel shutters.
Uh-huh.
The front.